better off.
Hello, everybody. Happy New Year, and welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. We took a brief holiday-related hiatus, but we are now back in your feeds. This is episode 35 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by Linda Serovich. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Allison. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Linda. And we are joined this week by special guest Kate Feldman, formerly of Amazing Avenue, formerly of Baseball Prospectus, Mets team site, and currently of the New York Daily News. Hi, Kate Feldman.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Maggie is off this week unexpectedly. It was actually supposed to be four of us, but unfortunately Tommy is sick. Shout out to Tommy. Hopefully he feels better soon. But luckily we have Kate here, so we have our normal requisite three people. As far as the Mets, a fair amount has actually happened since we last recorded, since the last time we recorded was before even Christmas Eve. So the first thing on the docket is that the Mets signed Dellin Betances to a relatively cheap contract. Because it's the Mets, they got the guy that would come cheap. But they did a thing.
I actually have a funny story. Like, my aunt is like a super, super like diehard Yankee fan, like hates anything like outside of the Yankees. And Dellin Betances was her favorite Yankee. Oh. So on Christmas Eve, they were all texting her asking if Christmas was canceled. Like, should we still come over?
Yankee fans seem to really love Dellin Betances, and like the Yankee fans that I like, I don't interact with too many of them online because I can only handle so much Yankee fan online stuff. But the ones that I do interact with seem to be like really still pulling for him, and they seem to really like him just as a dude. So that's exciting, at least.
One of my best friends is a huge Yankees fan, and he's like genuinely heartbroken by this. Which is nice, because usually it's the other way around.
Exactly. So the fact that Yankees fans are sad is good not only for the, you know, the sheer satisfaction of that, but just it means that we've got ourselves a potentially a really good player. Obviously, the reason why he was able to come sort of cheap was because he missed pretty much all of last year. I think he pitched one inning. He had shoulder problems, and then was it shoulder problems or elbow problems?
I think it was shoulder problems.
He had shoulder problems, and then he like came back from that, threw like one pitch, and then blew out his Achilles, which is like, oh, cool, awesome. So it's you know, kind of a buy low situation, but obviously before last season he was elite.
I think he faced two batters last year and struck them both out
and looked like Dellin Betances, very much like Dellin Betances for two batters. So, but you know, it's just another part of the whole theme of the Mets bullpen, which is just like banking on the guys coming back from the last season.
Well, that's the Mets way in general.
Yes.
The hope and pray method.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No what ifs, though, right?
No. We are eliminating what ifs.
And it's like, bullpens are obviously high variance to begin with, just by their nature, but this feels especially high variance.
Yeah, it really does.
Like, it could either be really, really good or really, really terrible.
There's also going to be no in between.
No.
It's going to be, yeah. It's not going to be like Seth Lugo is still great and Betances is fine and like Diaz is like on. No, it's going to be great or awful.
Yeah.
And also, we're just expecting like Lugo to still be good. Like his
also
UCL is hanging on. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
But how can you.
It feels like we've been on borrowed Seth Lugo time for a while now.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. But, you know, and also, what marks good because they were so historically bad last year that I guess anything, you only have up to go from here, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I guess Betances facing more than two batters would already be an improvement from his previous season.
And Hefner went down to go speak and work with Edwin Diaz. There's no way Edwin Diaz is going to be that bad. I refuse to believe that.
I hope you're right.
I refuse to believe it, Kate.
they're still pretending he was healthy and just like bad last year, which I don't know that I believe.
Yeah, that's the wild card here.
Yeah, came out. Like Brody Van Wagenen was like, he's now healthy. And was right. Like, wait, what? Sorry, right. Come again, Brody?
Healthy t-shirt has people asking a lot of questions about my shirt.
And nobody asked the follow-up, which was he not healthy?
Yeah, like people just let him say that.
Right.
Okay, this is the Mets, you just kind of expect everything to be wrong. Maybe that's why you just take it at face value. I don't know.
I would have asked the question. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, the bullpen as it stands now, obviously extremely high variance, but the Mets, like, they could have done more to shore this up, and they didn't. And, like, the last of the good relievers are kind of gone now. There were, like, a few pretty good, like, Justin Wilson-level signings they could have done that were left out there that are now gone. Like, Steve Cheesek is a really good example of that. He just signed for, like, $6 million or something like that. Wow. Like, they could have done that. That seems like a pretty, like, no-brain thing to do, but of course it's the Mets, so they seem done.
Well, Brody was all, hey, we got the best bullpen now. So I guess he can't say that and be like, wait, I still have to add to it. My bad. Now we have the best bullpen.
The best bullpen just got better?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to remember who it was, and I, deepest apologies to, like, I'm forgetting which beat writer it was, but someone wrote, like, someone ranked, I think it was one of the SNY guys, ranked the bullpens in the NL East, and ranked the Mets bullpen second, which I think is optimistic. Yeah. But then again,
they're all healthy and productive.
Right.
Like, if they can pitch to their level, they are, but we just haven't seen that recently. Yes. Yeah.
And I also think this was before the Nationals signed Will Harris, to be fair. Yeah. So,
and I mean, the wild card is Waka, too. Like, there's actually no evidence he can pitch out of the bullpen.
Yeah, who the heck knows?
Like, it could just not, like, not every starter can just become a reliever. Like,
yeah.
They also try Matz out of the bullpen last year? No, I don't think that went well.
That is, yes.
Yeah, for like 5 minutes right before the trading deadline. Because he had like a series of like a few bad starts in a row right before the trading deadline. And they were like, all right, buddy, you go to the pen for a little bit. And it didn't work like at all. Because why would it work?
Right.
And he came back and was pretty good.
Yeah, his second half was fine. Like he was fine.
Yeah. Shockingly, I'm sure he was also hurt.
Yeah, probably.
Because of Mets and Mavs.
Do we think that they are, like, penciling in Porcello as just the fifth starter?
I don't know. Well, because you
can... Are they having, like, a pseudo-competition?
They have... You can carry, I think, an extra man this year.
Yes,
so you can have
this year.
Yeah. So you can go with an extra guy in the bullpen. So... I don't know. I don't know if you can pencil in Porcello as the fifth guy. If healthy, I think Waka would have the edge, or even Matz.
Waka has the escalators, though, doesn't he?
Oh, in his contract? He does. He has incentives
right.
In his contract.
Yeah. So it's going to be Porcello just for that reason.
They're going to limit Waka's innings as much as possible.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's literally what... That's how this roster is going to be constructed, the cheapest way possible.
Yep. That makes sense. Yeah, I forgot about that. That is a factor.
Yeah.
And I think,
that's a good point.
I don't know, just thinking about it, like, because there's no evidence that Porcello can pitch well out of the bullpen necessarily either. Has he really done it?
No.
Yeah, and so, like, but just thinking about it, like, logically and what each of them bring to the table as far as pitch mix is concerned, like, Waka has the better stuff.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
Like, maybe, like, logically, he's the swing pen guy in theory, but, like, again, You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, I think perfect world, you probably just kind of have them piggyback start.
Yeah.
Every days.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, you know, you're not a reliever. You just pitch innings 5 through 9.
Yes.
It's not a bad idea.
That makes sense.
If your 26th guy is out is a reliever, you know, you don't need to use Waka as a long man. You can just have him be the second pitcher on Porcello's starts.
Yeah. And honestly, I think they could stand to do that with Matz a little bit.
Yeah.
That's where I've had the idea for years, is that that's what they needed, but they never had a long man.
Well, yeah. If you put the three of them together, you might get one viable pitcher.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Like Porcello's health, Waka's stuff, and Matz's leftiness. I like it. So you have leftiness. Like one super pitcher there.
Yeah, for real. No, that'd be good. I mean, like, and just dreaming big for a second here. When we talk about the Mets bullpen having a high ceiling, and they really do, if you know, like Betances and Diaz and Familia are the pitchers that we think they can be, then that opens up Seth Lugo to really also serve as like a fireman earlier in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would be an ideal role for him more so than being the closer just because he's the best pitcher in the bullpen.
Yeah.
The only good pitcher in the
only good one.
That was I'm getting flashbacks and they're not good.
Yeah. So like if Diaz actually performs like a closer and Betances and Familia can be viable setup men, then you can have Seth Lugo in his ideal role, and then you could have a piggyback of Waka and Porcello,
right?
Or Porcello Waka, whatever order you want to do that.
Did you see that article, the Athletic article the other day, that Tim Britton wrote? And it was breaking down Jacob deGrom's starts, and if they just were, like, normal, like, if the bullpen performed normal, if the offense performed normal, it was the most depressing article.
Oh, God.
Well, you have to read it. Because
especially
the bullpen,
in 2018, he would have won, like, 25 games.
Yes, and it's because he broke down the numbers with the bullpen, too, and yeah, I was like, like, it could have made the difference between them getting a wild card last year if they had just been normal. And and for the most part, he pitched into the seventh inning. Why can't you not blow a game for 2 innings?
Yeah, I know.
2!
I like the idea of an alternate universe when the Mets are just, like, mildly competent. Like, they would be really good.
They would be really good.
Yeah.
It's because they, like, the Mets, like, for all of how much we talk about, like, how cursed they are, they've stumbled ass backwards into so much luck. Like,
yeah.
I know. Like, just be normal for 2 seconds. We're not asking for, like, you know, be great.
Right. I don't need you all to be, like, Mariano Rivera, but, like, just, like, be fine.
Fine. Speaking of how the Mets can never be normal, I feel like that's a natural segue to the, I would say elephant in the room, but it's the wild boar in the room. I'm just gonna laugh my way through this segment. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to talk more than, like, 2 consecutive sentences without laughing. So, we haven't discussed the wild boar incident. So we recently learned that, we knew that Yoenis Cespedes injured himself on his ranch while he was recovering from double heel surgery. They immediately were like, it's not horse related. And it's like, well, no one asked if it was horse related. Okay. And so, like, people really had no idea what happened because it was shrouded in secrecy what actually happened. But we did know that the Mets were, you know, kind of thinking they were, obviously the resettlement came out. So they knew that maybe it was something risky had happened. But now we've learned that, he was injured because of a wild boar. Apparently, obviously boars are a big problem on these large ranch properties. They screw with everything. That's what the 30 to 50 feral hogs meme is actually all about. is if you guys, I'm going to link this in the show notes, seriously, people. You guys should check out Radiolab, the podcast. They did an entire episode about the 30 to 50 feral hogs meme, and they interviewed the guy who, like, made that tweet, and he's actually awesome.
What?
I know.
I didn't realize that.
He's actually amazing, and, like they talked to him about, like, I thought he was gonna be like some like gun toting like asshole, but he wasn't. He like loved all of the tweets that he was getting. He like loved all the notifications. He was like I love this meme, honestly. He was like, I just wanted to bring awareness to this problem because it's actually real and no one takes it seriously.
We now take it seriously.
Yeah.
Message received.
I think his property and where the podcast takes place was in Texas, but obviously Cespedes's ranch is in Florida. But the same like general problem applies, is that these feral hogs are like a huge in number. Like, they have no natural predators, so they just, and apparently they like reproduce really quickly. Like, they have a really fast like turnover cycle and have lots of babies, and like no one eats them, so they just like reproduce a lot, and they're really smart, so it's like hard to like trap them or keep them at bay. And so Ioannis Cespedes has devised like elaborate traps for them, which like later after this New York Post story came out, someone posted like a Vice interview he did like way back in the day, like 2017, I think, like,
yeah,
showing the traps that he made for these boars, and they're like elaborate. It involves like tipping over buckets of corn inside a pen and then like quickly pulling the door shut and stuff
I would also highly recommend that entire video. I remember watching it like when it came out, and it's fantastic. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, the boar video is like a smaller clip of a bigger video, which is like all of Cespedes's ranch and like his day-to-day activities on the ranch.
He's like chopping wood and he's like talking about his cows. It's phenomenal.
And it's like, it's kind of like if you watch that whole video back now, you kind of realize like, oh yes, any one of these things could have been the thing.
Right.
Well, Justin Klug, is that how you pronounce it? Came out with a article today for Fangraphs called Bored to Death When Baseball and the Wild Boar Cross Paths. And he goes into the history of wild boars in baseball. So it's not just Ioannis.
Oh, yep.
There have been others.
Cool.
I think I'm pretty sure Albert Pujols was one.
Oh, God.
Oh, Tom Martin shot a wild boar northwest of Port St. Lucie, Florida.
I was just in Port St. Lucie like a few weeks ago too. Well, I drove through it, but
did you see any wild boars?
I saw no wild boars. Now I feel cheated.
Yeah, keep an eye out for wild boars in the future, Kate. As our official Florida correspondent.
Oh, God.
We're sending you out on our
I was about to say, Chris, can you pay me to go down and hunt wild boars with you in Cespedes?
Yes, Chris. Send Kate on assignment to Florida to hunt wild boars. That's the plan.
Yeah, and maybe if we had Kate there, this wouldn't have happened.
Right?
Yeah,
really. I would have protected Cespedes. You can have faith in me. Yeah. I wouldn't have let this happen.
Yeah, I would step in front of a wild boar for you on a Cespedes. Obviously.
Same. But also, what killed me too? I could not stop laughing. I know, like, his is his livelihood, and we shouldn't be laughing too much, but that picture, the post ranch, where they clearly photoshopped the boar in.
Oh my God,
and the caption was just, you want a Cespedes on his ranch, like, all normal, there's not a giant hell beast standing behind him.
I know some people at the post. I kept meaning to reach out to find out who did this, because it's my favorite homepage art I've ever seen.
I know, it's so good.
Everything about the presentation of this story, too. Like, the art, like, the triple byline.
Yeah, I know.
They needed three reporters to break this.
Time for, like, an exclusive story. Like, I love all of it.
It's just, like, it's amazing. So, yeah.
Technically, Cespedes did not lie. He did fall into a hole on his ranch. There were no lies involved.
No lies. He was sidestepping the boar. He was like, the boar startled him. He like stepped backwards, apparently into a hole, and snapped his ankle in half. That's what happened, apparently.
That was all very very true. That was all true. Yep.
Can we very quickly talk about my actual favorite part, which was very underappreciated? His agent's name is Kyle Thousand. Are you kidding me? Like, come on.
And did you see the picture of him, too?
Yeah, he looks exactly like you think he would look. Like, this can't be real.
Oh, it's amazing.
It was amazing.
It's amazing. This whole thing is amazing. And it's like, I don't know. Like, is there a more quintessentially Mets thing than this? Like, I think not.
Yeah.
I mean, other people have gotten hurt in strange ways. There was a whole thread going around about that. So it's just like baseball, because baseball players are weird.
I mean, I wrote this article years ago. Remember when Matt hurt himself sleeping on the Barca lounger?
Yep. Yep.
Like...
And we were like, lots of money. Sleep on a normal mattress.
I tweeted
this. Well,
did
Jake need a new mattress at one point, too?
He was like, the pillows were bad or something?
Something, yeah. I was going to say, like, before the 2016 season, he had to, like, ask Matt Harvey what mattress he used.
Like, LOL Mets is, like, a self-fulfilling prophecy at this point.
Yes.
But they make it so hard sometimes.
Yes.
Like, it's just, you can't defend this team, even if you want to.
No, this is insane.
And like, when other people try to insult us, it's like, yeah, we know. Yes. They're weird.
Yes. It's just, yeah. I don't take them seriously. I don't know why anyone else tries to.
The other day, I made a tweet about the Yankees, and I got a Yankees fan in my mentions that was like, I was going to come up with an insult, but you're a Mets fan, and I can think of no worse insult than that. And I was like, buddy,
oh, please.
Yeah. I think you're being original here.
I've had White Sox fans in my mentions for like a week and a half. Yeah, that's, you know, who are you to talk as a Mets fan? Like, I know. Like, I know. It's fine.
It's fine.
I
own it. I own it.
But yeah, so this whole thing is just so fantastic. I love everything about it. And this makes me love you on a Cespedes even more.
Yeah. Like, this is his, like, you know, this is his life. You can't stop him from living his life on a ranch.
He's also always been very clear about that. Like, ranch is a priority.
Yes, yes. I desperately need him to bring a boar to spring training. Like, desperately need him to bring a boar.
Or somebody put a stuffed boar in his locker, like Puma or something.
That would be amazing. That would be, like, a wholesome version of the dildo incident.
I mean, he did used to walk up to Lion King.
I was just going to say, so we have Simone and y'all.
Yeah, he kind of has to bring back Lion King now.
He does.
He has no choice, right?
You have to own it, yo. And I'm so ready for Cespedes dingers. I want them back so bad. Like, people, like, somebody did a compilation of him killing the Phillies, and it was just so beautiful.
Can you imagine Cespedes and Pete hitting back to back in this lineup?
Are we actually thinking he's like coming back and playing?
No, I need this, Kate.
I know. I'm sorry. I just, like, it never crossed my mind that he's like actually gonna play in 2020. Like, I just like haven't accepted that as a possibility.
It's probably the right way to look at it.
But I don't know. Wendy Chavez was, you know, out there with him. They seemed to be doing okay.
Throwing him
but then that
practice.
Had to get deleted very quickly.
Yeah, very quickly.
Yeah, the Mets were probably like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Like, we need, you can't play because of the whole boar thing that we need to figure out.
Funny, yeah.
I mean... Well, his contract is also now, his resettled contract is also now super incentive laden, so who knows.
And according to Brody, that had nothing to do with them signing Dylan Betances, so take
L-O-L.
That.
L-O-L.
Uh-huh, whatever.
Like I said, according to Brody. Yeah.
Does anyone believe anything he says now?
No.
No. Just checking. Just
like, a very good way, and I'm saying this as a journalist, a very good way is to believe that nobody is telling you the truth ever.
Yeah.
It's just a really good way to go through life if you don't want to, like, have healthy relationships. But, like, no, I don't believe anything Brody. And, like, the people who get, like, upset when he's clearly lying, like, it's his job. Like, I just don't care what he says.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, whatever. He goes out there, he says it, we say, whatever you say, and, like, that's the end of it.
Yeah. Especially when he like brags on the like brags about the team and they're like, yeah. Oh, Brody's talking about great the Mets are again and they're not great. It's like, yes, we all know that.
Right. What's he gonna say? Like
yeah. What's he supposed to say? My team sucks. Our team yeah. is bad. Yeah, I wish I could spend more, guys. But I can't.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like I feel like that's why the Wilpons hired him, because he is such a good salesman.
Yeah.
But at this point nobody's buying.
Yeah, it turns out he's not actually that good of a salesman.
Yeah, Sandy Alderson was much better at it.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. In the beginning, I feel like Brody was a good salesman. Like, his opening introductory press conference, I was like, yeah, I'm ready to run through a wall for this guy. And it's like, oh, wait, they were all lies. Never mind, carry yeah. on.
It fell apart very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, did. Because, like, anytime, it's because, like, fandom is inherently forgiving, right? Even against yeah. your own, like, rational brain. And so, like, you're willing to give a new person a chance. So, like, everyone gave him a chance because that's what you do. And, like, he, you know, didn't earn it. And so...
And know. Ended up throwing chairs and...
Yikes.
Hanging out with they that must not be named in the outfield.
Mm. Yep. So yeah, Wild Boars, Dylan Betances, Mets are probably done. They haven't even like attempted to sign a backup catcher, which is something.
Ugh.
Like, really, you do kind of have to do that.
Like, that's just basic.
You mean Tomas Nino isn't good?
Man.
Tell me more.
40 WRC plus, is that good?
Oh, God.
Asking for a friend.
I think I saw him, I want to say, I don't think it was a grand slam, but I think he hit like a 3-run home run against the Brewers like very early on last year.
Yes, he did. I distinctly remember it.
I remember saying, like, he came up to bat. I'm like, if he hits a home run here, I'll have seen everything. And so I was like, well, I guess I've seen everything.
Yep, guess I'm done watching baseball now. That's it.
Yep, I'm going home. Thanks.
But yeah, like... Ugh. Like, as a, like, third string option, he's fine, but, like, they really do, like, Wilson Ramos is not gonna play that many games again. You got
yes,
so
he is.
Lucky last year.
Are you, of course he's going to.
His knees are another year older.
Right.
And Nito's defense, I feel like, fell off last year, too. It wasn't like he was, you know, this machine back there. That you absolutely couldn't take him out of the lineup for defense alone. Like, no, he was just okay.
Yeah, like, he was fine defensively. If you, like, yeah, I guess you put up with a 40 WRC plus as your backup. You can't do that every day. But you put up with a 40 WRC plus as your backup if he, like, throws out every single runner trying to steal. If he, like,
right.
frames
you
everything perfectly.
When Syndergaard is pitching, kind of thing. You know? Yeah.
Which he wasn't even, like, good enough to be that.
Right.
No.
So,
where's Devin Mesoraco? I wonder what
he's
up
to.
Still
at home.
Still
at home. He probably is.
Yeah.
He's probably at home in Punxsutawney. So they got a big, big holiday coming up in a few weeks.
I forgot that's where he was.
To retire. Forced him to retire. He's still in Punxsutawney. Cool. Good. It's like after they screwed up the catching situation so badly last year, you think they would have learned their lesson, but they have not.
Devin Mesoraco and Punxsutawney is actually very apt, now that I'm thinking about it. Groundhong Day, the same thing over and
yep.
over. Like, Devin Mesoraco is, like, your prototypical Met now. He encapsulates everything Mets
yeah.
right now.
He might actually end up being the Metsiest Met of the decade.
is Devin Mesoraco the Metsiest Met of the 2010s? My column.
I mean, oh man, there's just way
like
too
I
many.
Thought it was gonna be Matt Harvey, but it might be Mesoraco.
I mean, he was
this.
Traded for
he was
Harvey,
traded
so
yeah
that's true
inextricably linked to Matt Harvey, so that's kind of another layer. Yep.
Where is Harvey nowadays?
He was on the Angels.
No, I thought they cut him. I thought the Oakland picked him up.
Oh, yeah, you're
so,
right.
It's Sandy Alderson, because we were like, oh,
yeah.
It's the Sandy connection.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
So I don't know if he's still with Oakland or not.
Well,
no,
he's
a free agent.
Free agent, yeah.
Oh.
Who knows if he's getting... He's going to get an NRI.
He's going to get an NRI, yeah. It very well might be the Mets, actually.
Oh, good Lord, no.
No. I think we just need to go our separate ways at this point.
I agree, but, like, it's going to be the Mets.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Mets tried it. I'd be surprised if Matt Harvey came here.
Yep. Yeah. I don't think he would accept it.
Yeah.
He'll go pitch in, Long Island Ducks or something. He's not doing that.
Yeah. Well, Devin Mesoraco saw his shadow, so we have 6 more weeks of Tomas Nito. So that's the situation with the Mets. We are, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll discuss a couple of broader baseball notes, and then we'll do some fun off-season television chatter. So stay tuned for that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we are back. I feel like we do need to briefly address this because it's probably the biggest baseball story floating around right now. The sign-stealing scandal continues to kind of expand. Before it was, well, we knew the Red Sox were implicated because they have previously been punished for using technology in the dugout, but this is like a new level of finding out what they did. So apparently the Red Sox used video replay. They used a video replay room illegally in 2018. So now it's not just the Astros that have like a camera set up with a TV and everything like that. Apparently the Red Sox also did it.
This is like fruit of the poisonous tree because Cora came from the Astros. Yeah. So everything still stems from the Astros.
Yeah. Alex Cora is kind of the one through line between the two.
Which makes me nervous about Beltran, that's the thing.
Yeah, but the article in The Athletic, when this story broke, does have more, like, kind of quotes from anonymous players from the 2018 Red Sox. And we have to find my favorite one. Where's the favorite one about the deer? That's the best one.
Oh, that, like, made absolutely no sense. I know. I still don't know what that quote means.
Oh, here it is. You got a bunch of people who are really good at cheating, and everybody knows that each other's doing it, said one person with the 2018 Red Sox. It's really hard for anybody to get away with it at that point. If you get a lion and a deer, then the lion can really take advantage of the deer. So there's a lot of deers out there, jocks are smart, that weren't paying attention throughout the season. In the playoffs, now you're going against a lion. First of all, there's like so much there. Because first of all, this they could only find evidence of the regular season, but this player kind of just told on himself because he's in the playoffs.
Yeah. All playoff teams are cheating, essentially, was the quote.
Yeah, yeah. And whatever, deers and lions aside, whatever the hell that analogy was, he basically is saying that everybody's cheating and some teams are not as smart as other teams, so you can take advantage of those not smart teams, but the smart teams are the only ones that make the playoffs, so then you just gotta cheat.
It makes sense and I believe it, but then what did Correa say? Like, he was all defensive, but he didn't deny it.
No, he didn't deny it. Correa gave a really shitty quote.
He did.
First of all, he said he doesn't feel like their title is tainted, but he said something even worse than that. What was it? Very riveting radio while we look this up.
But yeah,
Houston Chronicle article. Yes, it was. It's loading, I have it.
If he didn't deny it, like, we were always, like, we
right. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it makes me a bad baseball fan. I just, like, can't get worked up about it. Like, everyone's cheating. Like, I'm sure every single team is cheating. Most of them just haven't gotten caught yet.
But I think me and Allison and Maggie discussed this, like, we were okay with it if you use stuff that's readily available, like, on the field.
Yeah.
But, like, taking it to another level, like, adding, you know, a whole room or, you know, the technology, that to me is another level that is
allowed to
be acceptable.
And I think that part of it that makes it feel gross is, like, I mean, obviously we all know that these teams are run, like, these front offices are run by the shittiest people imaginable, but the fact that this goes up to the front office level makes me feel really gross. Like, it's an organized effort from the top to the bottom. Like, it's one thing when it's just players kind of, like, doing it on their own and, like, going rogue.
Yeah.
But
yeah, like guys in suits like sat down and like planned this in the off season.
Exactly. Like that is really gross to me. I kind of hate that. Yeah. Oh, the Correa quote, here it is. This is bad. It's about Fires, because Fires was the guy who spoke to on the record, put his name out there in the initial like piece that broke about the Astros. Fires was one of the people that spoke to the media with his name attached to it. So Correa said about him, he's a grown man and he can do whatever he wants to do. It's a free country. Knowing Fires, it was surprising because we were a team. We were all together and we had a bond and we won a World Series championship. But this is America, the land of the free. You can say what you want to say.
It's like the First Amendment speech. Like, what is that?
Like, dude, like.
But like, you're not denying it. Like, there was not a simple denial in that whole entire sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I'm mad he told.
Yep.
Yeah. It's what stays in Vegas, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And that's how it always has been for a lot of baseball, not just this, certainly.
Yeah, like, it just reeks of the whole, like, I thought we were on the same team, man. I thought we stuck up for each other.
You had my back. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's the same stuff with, like, this comes up with domestic violence all the time. Like, the players cop for each other and no one, like, everyone.
I mean, we're certainly not going to accuse anyone of infidelity, but, like, yeah, it's all.
Yeah.
It's, you're not supposed to tell on your brothers.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. It's a boys' club, and they're all, like, in it together. And if you say, and if you go against that, then, like, you're ostracized, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the cheating continues to expand. I mean, like Kate said, like, every team is doing it. I think we were talking about this recently in Slack. Like, I kind of take solace in knowing that the Mets are probably too stupid to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were doing this, at least at this level, like, I accept that every team is doing a low level version of this, at least probably the Mets too. But, like, if the Mets were doing it to this, like, level that the Red Sox and the Astros are doing it with the whole, like, rooms and, like, from top to bottom, the whole, like, organization-wide effort, like, they would have been caught by now. They're way too stupid to pull this off. So.
Oh, the feed would have, like, ended up, like, on SNY Live, like, during game broadcast. Yeah.
A Mets player would have, like, tripped on a wire during a game and hurt himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it would have been, like, DeGrom. It wouldn't have been, you know.
Yeah, so
like, that's how that ends.
I at least take solace in that. But yeah, so this is kind of like slightly connecting to my next point, but the tweet I made that made the Yankees fans mad was that, like, obviously the Yankees, especially Yankees fans and Dodgers fans, are like extra indignant about this because now, like, two teams that they lost to in the playoffs are the cheating teams. And I kind of, I made the Yankees fans mad because I was like, well, Yankees fans during the steroid era, count our rings, haters, Yankees fans now, oh no, we lost to cheaters. It's like, well, I don't know how you can be mad. And like, the Dodgers are literally crimes.xlsx. Like, don't pretend your team is innocent. Like, come on. I don't know. I mean, I understand on a fandom level, like on a visceral fandom level, being upset, because if we found out that, like, the 2015 Royals did this, I know Mets fans would be, like, super, super upset. So I get it. But, like, your team, like, your teams are also smart teams, Yankees, Dodgers, so you guys are probably also doing this.
Yeah. I feel like, I thought there was something with the Yankees a few years ago, but I might be making that up. Maybe because they were just always complaining about other teams doing it.
I know the Red Sox accused them of cheating.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's in the Athletic article about the Red Sox that, like, let me see. That the Yankees had, like, accused them of doing stuff. But there was also the thing that, like, the other teams were saying that they were, like, pretending to, they were, like, whistling randomly to, like,
Yankees
think they were cheating when they weren't cheating.
Oh, here. It was ESPN said, the Red Sox said that they had a video of a camera focused on a Red Sox bench coach stealing a sign. Two steals signs.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if that was ever confirmed or even investigated, but
yeah,
that was 2017. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Here it is. And then, like, according to a source, MLB previously had given the Yankees approval to use the camera, which the team viewed as a coaching tool. Yeah. Okay. So, like, the Yankees were never, like, officially punished for that because it would never, like, officially broke the rules in any way. But yeah. Obviously some shady stuff happened.
Yeah,
there
it's
too.
Fishy.
But yeah, so there's all sorts
apparently
of...
the punishments are about to come down. Jeff Passan just had an article yesterday, I believe, saying that the penalties are expected to be severe. So, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
And who exactly they punished too? Like, does the front office get punished?
Well,
does
they said
the
it
players get punished.
I don't remember if it was him or Rose. Someone said it wasn't going to be the players, which I guess is maybe Beltran at this point still.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think someone tweeted that it wasn't going to be any players, and then someone more Mets-specific tweeted, like, Beltran probably will not get punished.
I think it was Martino, so be careful.
Oh, boy.
Never mind.
That has an asterisk on it.
Asterisk Andy Martino of MetsBlog.com. So, but yeah, it at least doesn't feel like Carlos Beltran is going to be punished. But I like that what's his name? The Astros front office guy, I think, is in deep shit.
Lunau. Is it Lunau?
Well, Lunau, but like the guy who was in the scouting department.
Oh.
He helped orchestrate it. I can't remember.
Kevin Goldstein.
Yes,
that's it.
Yeah.
I think he's in deep shit.
Like we said with Talkman, too, it doesn't matter because this whole organization stinks. Clearly there's a culture there. You're just going to bring in another guy in a suit and he'll come up with something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. But speaking of punishments coming down, the other, like, kind of quick baseball note is that Domingo Herman has been punished. He has an 80-game suspension. Which is essentially, like, as big of a suspension as they do for domestic violence. Lindsay Adler wrote a really good article in The Athletic about, like, how the MLB domestic violence policy works. And it's, like, you know, a very... It's not, like, an article that argues if it's bad or good. It just is an explanatory article. And I think that... If you want more insight into how it works, you should read it. It's really good. But bringing in other previous episode themes, speaking of salty Astros fans, she got bullied online for this article randomly by a random Houston talk radio guy. It was ridiculous.
The Astros fans get so defensive about this. I'm like, you really want to die on a hill for domestic violence? Like, that's what you want to go to bat for?
I mean, they're Mets fans who do it. You'll know who I'm talking. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, basically, like, she did this very, like, you know, like, fact-based, like, heavily researched article that was not an article of, not that there's no place for articles of passion or opinion on this subject. I've written a couple of them myself. But, like, she did a very, like, fact-based article. It was not meant to incite any debate about domestic violence. But then, like, it was just like, this is how the policy works. And then he was like, oh, the Yankees get covered one way and the Astros get covered another way. And she was like, dude, I've never written about the Astros. Like, what are you talking about?
And she's not a national columnist
reporter.
Either.
Yeah.
Like, why would she care? I mean, she probably does care, but her job is to write about the Yankees, and this very specific suspension happened to a player on the Yankees.
Also, to act like Domingo Germán is a comparable, like, situation to Roberto Osuna is ridiculous, when Domingo Germán was already on the Yankees when this happened, whereas the Astros took advantage of and leveraged domestic violence to acquire Roberto Osuna. Completely different. Although the Yankees did that with Chapman, so, you know. But that's, like, not what he was referencing. So it was pretty ridiculous. But, you know, dudes having a normal one online is, you know, par for the course.
Yep.
anyway.
And she handled it very well, too. She did. Like, props to Lindsay.
Yeah, she did. She's great. But anyway, on to happier subjects. So the reason why we had Kate on, other than to talk about baseball, was to talk about TV, because Kate writes about TV for the New York Daily News and entertainment generally, and she recently came out with her favorite shows of 2019. So Kate, can you real quick just like recap your process, how you chose the shows, what you ultimately came up with, and like what shows you really loved in the past?
Yeah, so you did spoil my secret. So it's technically, it's a top 10. It's not my favorite, it's the best.
Objectively, which, the best.
Objectively the best. I am a professional here. And it, like, it obviously does end up being like my favorites. Like, I snuck on the other two at the bottom, and I snuck on Dickinson, which I had no right doing. But like, it's something that I know that I do every year, so like I'm always very aware of what I'm watching, kind of thing. And I wrote this in the article, like, for like probably the first 3 months of the year, like, I and everybody else thought that Russian Doll was gonna be the best show of the year, and it was phenomenal. Natasha Lyonne is great, the show was great. It ended up being my number four. It could have, you know, slotted up or down a few slots. But this was, like, actually a really good year for TV, which doesn't happen all the time. There's 1,001 TV shows. Actually, the number came out today. Hold on. Let's see. FX put it out. 532 scripted limited series comedies and dramas this year.
Wow.
Just television. I'm just going to say that is too much television.
That is.
You don't need that many shows. It's fun. But, like, and there's stuff that I liked that other people didn't. There's stuff that I liked that wasn't good. And, like, that's always a very clear distinction for me. It's like, I like some really garbage television shows.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
We all need those trash, exactly. Like, guilty pleasures.
Right. And, like, and I'm aware of that. Like, I'm never saying they're good. I'm just saying I love them. So this is always, like, good shows for me. Fleabag was my, and I think everyone else in the world's, number one, and well deserved. It was just a genuinely flawless season of television. Don't watch it with your parents. Probably don't. It's a little graphic, but it's perfect. And then it just, I mean,
did that win the Golden Globe?
It did. It won. Okay. It won Best Comedy, and it won Best Actress in a Comedy. It won all the Emmys last year. Like, we're like
finishing
the award cycle for Fleabag now. I think we're done officially. But yeah, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who did the first season of Killing Eve, they hired her to come in and rewrite the new James Bond because they
knew. Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
Like, yeah, like, she's fantastic. And Fleabag was great, and it was a dark comedy, and it was, like, it was sexy, and it was funny, and it was depressing, and it was kind of everything that I needed it to be.
What's it even about? Because all I keep hearing is Fleabag, and I'm like, I don't know what it's about.
It's about this woman who does not have a name.
Oh.
And it's just, like, I don't want to spoil too much, but it's just, like, about her in London, and, like, trying to find love, and you get some family stuff, and you have her best friend who is dead, but I won't tell you how or why or anything.
Was it, like, present day?
Yeah, it's, okay. Yes, it's totally modern. It, you know, it, like, takes place, like, today.
Okay.
Um,
yeah, I keep, like, Fleabag is, like, top of my list for
yeah.
Like,
it's also a really easy binge. Like, I think both seasons are like 8 episodes each, and they're short episodes.
Yeah.
It's on Amazon. It's super easy. It's super well worth it. It is. It's like, it's really dark, but it's so funny, and the characters are great. It also, so part of the appeal is that she breaks the fourth wall throughout it.
Oh.
And like, other shows have done that, like, to various levels of success, but like, how she does it here is just so flawless. And this is supposedly supposedly only gonna be 2 seasons, and I actually believe her, and I hate her for it.
But you want to go out on a high note,
right? And very, very few TV shows do this. Is they actually end when they should end, as opposed to when the money dries up.
Yep.
But
yeah, like Good Place, unfortunately.
Yeah, Good Place is ending, right? I talked to Michael Schur a few months ago, and this was always the plan. Like, he had, 4 seasons laid out. He pitched his 4 seasons. They gave him 4 seasons.
Yep. It's actually, like, isn't it? Well, it just aired, like, while we were speaking.
Yes.
But I DVR'd it, so it's cool. I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
Yeah, I DVR'd it, too.
I've seen it. It was great. I've seen the first, or the 2 newest episodes. They're great. It's perfect. It's...
The ending better be perfect, because they've set up a lot here.
Yeah.
Like, their whole show has been pretty solid throughout, so they need to have a good ending.
Yeah, I'm gonna be mad. Yeah, if it's not.
I was getting like a bit bored of all of the reboots. Like, I needed action, and we're getting there. It needed to end.
Yes,
like there was only so many times you can start over.
For sure. And you follow up Fleabag with 2 like fantastic. shows based on true events, which are, dark in and of themselves in a completely different way than Fleabag is dark. I've seen When They See Us. I have not seen Unbelievable, just because I like, and that's again, along with right next to Fleabag, top of my list right now. It's just one of those things where like, I know what's coming in the first episode and I just like, can't watch it yet.
So I also put Unbelievable off for a really long time. And then I ended up binging it in like a weekend.
Oh, wow.
The nice thing, and these two work, like, how they work together. When They See Us is just dark and depressing, like, start to finish.
Yeah. I watched it all in one day, and that was a terrible decision.
That's a lie. I think every single person I could not to do that. I think I also told you not to do that.
I know. It was bad. I did it anyway.
Because I did that, they put us in the basement of a hotel for 6 hours, whatever it is. And we just watched it straight for the press screening. I like walked out of that place. I had no idea where I was. I didn't know. I just like, it broke me.
Yeah. I stared at a wall for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. But it was phenomenal, but so it was good. Just, it guts you. And I have, I'm 27-year-old white girl from Florida. Like, I have no experience with any of this.
Yeah.
And it's still how Ava DuVernay did it. Just, you feel everything that they were going through.
Yeah.
And then Unbelievable, it's not as dark as you think it's going to be. Very heavy topic. Like, obviously, rape is never going to be, like, enjoyable to talk about. But the story is interesting, and Merritt Weaver and Toni Collette are so good as like a buddy cop film on the other side of it that it absolutely works together somehow. And so you do have like this dark, depressing, grim story, but then you also have these two, and it balances beautifully. So it's not as heavy as you think it is.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it. I'm definitely going to watch it.
I put it off for a long time because I just, like, couldn't deal with it.
That's me right now.
I feel like you need to be in the right frame of mind.
That's exactly what it is.
I was like, I'll wait for a day when I'm in a good headspace. Like, when am I ever in a good headspace?
No.
Absolutely not.
So I just gotta do it,
Yeah. Absolutely do it. But, watch all of the shows I say are the best shows of the year. Yes, obviously. But, those three are so good in such different ways. And Russian Doll is also the same. It's like heavy topics, but they work together.
Yeah, for sure. And then as we go down, we have Schitt's Creek is next, which I have heard so much about from mostly from you, because I think like that's like one of your personal faves, right?
It is. It is absolutely one of my personal favorites. It's so funny. It's the cast is great. It's Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy, who, if you don't know, your parents know, I promise.
Isn't Eugene Levy's son on it too?
Yeah. He created the show, actually, and hired his dad.
Oh.
Yeah. Dan Levy created it. He stars in it. And actually, Eugene's daughter is also in it, which is kind of funny. It's a very family affair.
Do they all look alike?
Eugene and Dan do. Sarah does not as much, mostly just because she doesn't have the eyebrows.
Oh. That's probably good for her.
Probably good for her, yeah. But it's genuinely one of the funniest shows. I am essentially constantly rewatching Schitt's Creek. It's just like on repeat on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's so funny. And everyone missed it for a few seasons, like so did I.
Yeah, but I feel like it just like came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Because I went to a taping of Stephen Colbert, I'd say a couple years ago. And Dan Levy was his final guest, and he was talking about it. And I feel like that might have been like when it first came out, or it was still relatively new. Because I'm like, I had never heard of this, and then it just kind of, I guess, blew up.
Yeah, I think that a lot of that was critics. Honestly, like everyone kind of like discovered it and then did our jobs. But that is the final season started. I guess last night, 2 nights ago, I don't know, this week, some point.
How many seasons have there been?
This is the sixth and final.
Oh, okay.
So, but it's another, they're half hour episodes. Like, it's a really easy binge. They are all on Netflix now. And the character work in this show is better than I've seen in almost anything. Like, you can take, like, it's like this, I don't know if you know the plot, but like this uber rich family loses all their money, moves to this tiny little like white trash town, and like has to figure their lives out. And those characters are so easy to hate, and you're supposed to in the beginning.
That kind of sounds like Arrested Development.
Yeah, I can kind of see. I never liked Arrested Development.
Oh, I loved Arrested Development.
That's a hot take. They are like this family is far more likable as they go on, and like to the credit of the character building.
Yeah. That makes sense. Succession is the one on this list I know the least about, I think. Mm-hmm. AKA, I basically know nothing about it.
Yeah.
I actually had not finished. I still haven't finished Succession. I'm like three episodes away from done. Two, three. It's another super rich family. They don't lose their money. They're just trying to get more money. It's a media company, so it's a little too close to home for me.
Yeah.
The acting is very good, and the appeal of watching like obscenely rich people that like you will never be able to relate to on TV, I get it. Like it's this like we all watch Gossip Girl for the same reason. Like you will never understand like that level of wealth.
Yeah.
But Succession, like, they're all horrible human beings.
Who's in it?
Brian Cox is the lead. Yeah, who's great. It's one of the... Hold on, I'm blanking on it. Karen Culkin. I couldn't remember which one it was. He's Alan Ruck from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Jeremy Strong. It's a good cast. But it's just, it's like, it's a group of horrible people all trying to screw each other over. And that just,
that's about right.
Yeah. And a lot of people love this show. And I think it's very well done. It's just like, we see this in daily life. Like, I just don't really need to see this on TV as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's very good. Like, it's a really good television show.
Was it based on anything?
Supposedly it's based on Rupert Murdoch, but we're not supposed to say that out loud, kind of thing.
Yes, that sounds right.
Yeah, but you know, there are a few media owning companies that you can take some hints from.
Yeah. And then...
Well, wasn't, like, Billions based on Steve Cohen?
Yeah, yes, that is, like, one of the characters, like, he's based on one of the, or one of the characters is based on him, yeah. I forget which one. They're all the same. Like, I get the appeal of, like, again, like I said, like, I like watching, like, these, like, ridiculously horrible, like, super rich people, but only sometimes.
Yeah, I can imagine that gets old kind of
fast.
So like, maybe there's that's only not so a much binge, horribleness. But you just watch it over time.
Right.
But the next one on this list is Watchmen, which I have heard is one of those rare like superhero things that like can bridge the gap into like not superhero fans.
So a poto secret. I have not watched a second of Watchmen. I don't even know that I've watched a trailer, honestly.
Maybe Linda's the expert here then.
No, I haven't seen it. Like, I just did research on it, but, like, wasn't it based on, I want to say, like, race riots? Or...
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It opens with the Tulsa race riots, which is a lot.
Yes, because I was reading up on it, and I was ooh, how'd they pull that off?
Like, yeah, and supposedly it was, like, really graphic, too. Like, it was, like, a very, like, sturdy representation of the Tulsa race riots.
So how do you take that and turn it into, like, superheroes?
If somebody wants to tell me, I've asked people who love this show, and they just, like, can't explain it to me. And I think that's part of the appeal, is just like, so weird. But I wrote it. You can think I watched the show. Not a clue. If you like it, great. I'm glad you have a show to watch.
Because I just, everybody just seems to love it. But I don't get how they pulled it off.
Yeah, I am not entirely sure. And like, I know there's like a giant squid at some point.
Oh.
I have heard the same, yes.
Yeah. I am still not entirely sure. And I kind of don't want to know, honestly. Like, I'm fine with that just existing out of my realm.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I mostly feel about most superhero things. But I dabble in it, is what I'll say. I dabble in it. Like, I've seen some of it. I've seen Black Panther. I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy. And I'm like, okay, I'll just take a pick of the movies that I want.
But, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I don't care what you watch. Like,
exactly.
I don't care if you don't like
each their own.
You do, right. There's so much. I also don't care if you don't like TV or, like, I just, like, whatever. I also, my thing is always, I don't believe in guilty pleasures. Just like whatever you want. Like, yep. I do not care. I'm not going to judge you. I don't care.
Let people enjoy things.
Right.
I feel that way about music, too. Like, when people are, like, snooty about, like, oh, that's not, like, good music. It's like, who cares?
Right. You don't know the music. Phoebe Bridgers? No, it's fine. I don't care. I'm still listening to All Time Low. Like, I don't care.
Yep. Hell yeah. And I'm just like, I really liked High Hopes before Pete Buttigieg ruined it, okay? And I'm still going to listen to the song anyway.
Right. Like, it's fine. Like, I'm too tired to, like, judge people for their taste. I really am.
Yeah, it's just like, there's so much out there that, like, makes people, like, there's so many takes that are genuinely bad. Like, who cares about, like, what TV shows people like?
Yeah. Oh, no, you didn't like Watchmen. Nope. It's fine.
It's fine. The other one that I do want to talk about that's on this list, though, is the other two, because I have not seen it, but this is the other one besides Fleabag that I've been told by other people I would like.
It's amazing. And, like, nobody watches it, and I get it. Because who watches Comedy Central anymore? But it is genuinely one of the funniest shows I think I've ever seen.
I'm going to watch this at some point.
Yeah.
I am.
It's, Drew Tarver and Helene York, and their little brother becomes, like, an overnight, like, YouTube star. And it's just, like, them, like, figuring out how to have, like, this famous little brother and just exist in this world. And it's so funny. And it's very crude and it's very dark, but it's fantastic.
Wait, I'm excited.
Which show is this?
The other two?
Oh, I have not heard of this.
Yeah, most people haven't, I promise.
I heard about it first on another podcast, and I think it might have been Pop Culture Happy Hour, actually.
Yeah.
Which is, like, one of my favorite, like, that's how I, like, keep in touch with pop culture, is by listening to that podcast. Otherwise, I would probably never have any idea what's going on in, like, the real world.
At better times, but... Yeah, I genuinely don't remember how I found this, but it's so funny and it's so clever.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it because it sounds like it's kind of like up my alley too. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just, it's an absolutely ridiculous show.
Yeah.
And it's great.
So the other thing before we leave the world of entertainment, I wanted to ask you, Kate, do you have any hot Golden Globes takes?
Oh, can Ricky Gervais go away? That's my Golden Globes hot take. I cannot stand that man.
The worst. The worst. Like,
I don't find a single thing he says funny.
Yeah. Like, I think I went through, like, a slightly edgelordy phase, like, a while back where I, like, kind of, like, found some of the stuff he said funny, but, like, I'm way over it. Like,
yeah,
way
over it.
Can I just say I didn't watch it? Will you judge me for that?
I won't. I also wouldn't watch it if I wasn't paid to do so.
I didn't watch it either. I saw clips of it after. That's what I did. I watched clips of some of the speeches. I watched the clip of those cringy Gervais stuff, and that's what I did.
Yeah, like, there were some good speeches. Like, Michelle Williams was great.
Yes. Fantastic.
Like, why can't they just have a Colbert and Tina Fey host every year?
Yeah, really. I'm sure they get bored. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Oscars are going to be hostless again, apparently.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Our poor Carrie Burke is still scared of a host, and I don't blame her. The ABC president. Yeah, she's like, no, we're just not going to do that.
I'd rather not. I'd rather not have everyone on the internet hate me.
Yeah, listen, 5 to be less work for me on Oscars night. So.
Yep. So do you think that any of these, like, and do you think that any of these, like, Golden Globes, I know, like, the Golden Globes has its own, like, weird culture compared to the Oscars. Like, it doesn't necessarily translate one to the other, but do you think that anything, like, has momentum because of the Golden Globes that will translate?
1917 was, like, the biggest surprise of the night, mostly because there weren't many surprises of the night.
Is that even out yet?
It is. I think it is. Christmas-ish.
Okay.
I've heard it was very good. It's, like, very not my kind of movie.
Same. Yeah, war movies.
Yeah.
But no. I've heard, like, it was shot beautifully. I like Benedict Cumberbatch. Like, I think he's a very good actor.
I also like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll watch it for him. But, like, yeah, and I've been told that, like, because I was, like, somebody said, like, oh, the movie was really good. And I was, like, I don't really like war movies. And they were, like, you'd be surprised at how, like, little gunfire there is in this movie. Like, it's not actually about,
like,
the
trailer is all gunfire.
And, like, explosions.
It makes it seem, like, very, very war-y, but apparently it's not that war-y, is what I've been told. But again, I
and Sam
that.
Mendes, who directed it, like, did, like, several of the James Bond movies.
Oh, yes.
So, like, he's well known. Good at his job.
Yeah. So, maybe
he was married to Kate Winslet for a little bit.
Was he?
I thought so. Or am I making that up?
No, you are right. Wow. I had no idea. That's funny.
Pulled that one out.
They have a kid together, too.
Okay, isn't it like Bear or something?
Joe. So close.
Does she have a kid named Bear?
She might have with another. I don't know. Does she have another kid?
I thought so. I could have sworn it was Bear.
I mean, guessing a weird name for a celebrity is probably a good guess, but you got the one kid who's named Joe.
Yes, Bear Blaze! I don't know who Bear Blaze's parent is.
Richard Branson's nephew is her third husband. Weird.
That's weird.
Okay. Sure.
I really don't know who Bear Blaze is.
Today I learned via Jeopardy that Conan O'Brien and Dennis Leary are cousins.
I saw that. We were watching that before.
And I was like, I knew that.
I was like, the hell?
Incredibly random.
Very strange.
I feel like Dennis Leary's related to somebody else too, but I can't remember. Maybe it was Conan. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
You knew this and didn't know you knew it.
Yeah. So who do you think is best picture this year?
It might end up being 1917, actually. Yeah. I thought Irishman was going to be the favorite, and then was it completely shut out, I think?
It didn't win anything, I don't think.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I thought that was one of the big things. Yeah,
Marriage Story got, Laura Dern won for Marriage Story, and Irishman is completely shut out. And I don't know if the Oscars are going to like Netflix more. I still don't know why the HFPA decided not to award Netflix at all. But I think 1917 might actually be the favorite going into this, which is kind of wild.
Yeah,
it is. Because you've heard like nothing about it until like 2 weeks ago.
Right. Part of the problem is all of the award shows are like really early this year.
That's what I thought. I was thinking, why are the Globes on already?
Yeah, I don't like it. I like it in that they're all crunched together because I can just like have a hell of a week for 6 weeks and then it's done.
Yeah.
But yeah, they are very early, which is not helping some of like the later shows or like the later movies.
Yeah, like just Little Women got the complete snub.
Right, because nobody had time to see it.
Yeah.
I think that'll end up getting an Oscar nomination.
I hope so.
But I don't know that it wins.
Yeah, probably not. But hopefully it'll get nominated at least. That's like, usually, like, this is a weird year for me. Because usually, like, I'm interested in at least, like, a good half of the Oscar-nominated, like, Best Picture-nominated films. I've either seen a fair few of them or, like, have plans to see. This year, it's Little Women and nothing else. Like, I've not seen any of those movies.
Anything either.
Knives Out was great.
Oh, I'm seeing that Saturday. No spoilers.
I won't spoil anything, but
I keep hearing it's amazing.
A lot. I want to see it so bad.
One of the best things I've seen in a very long time.
All right, I'm very excited.
Yeah, and,
Somehow I've avoided spoilers, so
that's impressive, actually.
Oh, I don't know anything either. Maybe I will see it, because, like, I can be convinced. Because that one, like, when I saw the trailer, I was like, but, like, everybody loves it, so I was like, okay, maybe.
It's great. It's so much fun.
Well, I was like, James Bond and Captain America are in it. Like, how could you go wrong?
True. The cast is great, and, like, that's, like, only, like, the third most impressive part of the movie.
Wow.
I have heard very, like, mixed things about Uncut Gems. Like, some people really loved it. My parents hated it. Like, hated it.
Everyone I know loves it, but they said it was just, like, so much.
That's why they hated it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I can absolutely see that. Like, it's just, like, overwhelming for 2.5 hours.
My mom was like, that movie just, like, gave me anxiety, and that's all that happened.
Yeah.
I just had anxiety for 2.5 hours. And I was like, okay, I don't think I'm gonna see this movie. But I can be convinced for Knives Out, and I'm gonna see Little Women, because obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
The cast in that looks unbelievable, too.
Oh, I'm so excited for Little Women. I need to see it. I'm so pumped for it. I need to actually, like, make a plan to see it, but, you know. So, yeah. Any other final takes on TV? Well,
I just want to thank Kate for recommending Prodigal Son.
Yes! Great TV.
Yes. I was like, because I saw, I think you either tweeted it or you wrote an article.
Yeah, I wrote about it. Yeah.
Yes, you did. Yes. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And like, I missed the first couple episodes because it's on Mondays, I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the Mets were still on Mondays at that point. So, so I missed the first few episodes. And then I was like, okay, I have to catch up. And then I, like, binged, like, the first four episodes in, like, one night. And I was like, I probably should have done that before bedtime, but it was amazing.
It's absolutely insane, and I am obsessed with it.
Michael Sheen is so good. Like, he's He had me laughing. I'm like, why am I laughing at this?
Michael Sheen, I think, might have had the best 2019 of anybody. Between that, Good Omens, and he was on a show called The Good Fight, which nobody watches, but it's the Good Wife spinoff.
Yes, I heard of that.
He's playing like not Roy Cohn, and he was just drunk all the time, and it was fantastic. And he just, I think Michael Sheen was just like living on air for all of 2019.
That's what I'm saying. It seems like he's having like the time of his life.
Like, God bless him. Like, good for Michael Sheen.
Yeah, there's like winning all the awards, but then there's just like living your best life.
Right, which is what he is doing.
Which is what he's doing. Amazing. But yeah, this is what we do in the off season, folks, in case you didn't realize. Just watch TV and movies. Like, that's what I do, literally. Like, during baseball season, I don't watch any TV or movies. Like, I'm totally ignorant about, like, pop culture.
Yes.
And then I'm just like, all right, baseball off season, time to binge all the TV and movies that I didn't watch during the regular season and catch up on, like, what everybody else, like, is already, like, up to date on. That's how I operate.
You see, that should be me, but then I go into a hockey season. I'm like, well, now I'm still behind.
Oh,
and I didn't scream once. I was watching the Rangers and Devils, and I kept it together.
During this whole time? Good job, Linda. Proud of you.
I was like, because they don't know. I'm like, this isn't like the Mets. I'm like, I can't scream like I usually do.
Can't get my live takes.
I know.
See, that's the advantage of only caring about one sport, Linda, is that there is like an actual off season, and then I do everything. I read books. I watch TV. I like behave like a normal human being.
I've read books. I read A Man Called Uwe.
Yes. Best book.
Oh my God. That book.
Best book.
Yeah. Cried buckets.
Yep. So good. We'll do a book episode at some point. We will, I promise. Maybe in February. Let's do a book episode in February, Linda.
Okay, let's mark that one down. Books.
Books. February will be books. Cool. On that
Before
note.
Spring training, because we'll probably have a lot to talk about when spring training starts. So we'll like the beginning of February, we'll
beginning
have to be
of February,
books.
We'll bring you a book episode. We'll talk about books. So we're going to take one more break. And when we get back, we will end the show with walk off wins like we always do. So stay tuned for that. All right. And we are back. Time to wrap things up with walk off wins, where each of us talks about what is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. Kate Feldman, what is your walk off win?
I had an incredibly bad week, and the only good thing was, and this is a very, very, very good thing, that it's pretty much for me and me alone. Fran Drescher is taking it to Danny to Broadway as a musical written by Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, yes. Wow. I love Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Like, there are some things that I'm just convinced are, like, made in a lab for me, and this is one of them.
Yes.
That's like, quite an epic, like, team up right there.
Yeah, there's so much going on, and I love all of it.
Shout out to Kellyanne Healy, who's the other person who this is for. Linda, what is your walk-off win for this week?
My walk-off win, I don't know if I should admit to this, but I've never really flown before. And so I had a wedding in Toronto, so I had to fly by myself, which was terrifying. I was convinced like I would miss security and be arrested as like a Canadian terrorist. like all the worst case scenarios in my head, like I'd get arrested, I'd forget my passport, the plane would crash, like pretty much everything that could go wrong I played out in my head. But
you're here. But
I am here. I survived. It was only an hour flight, which was nice, to Toronto. And, but the plane coming back, oh man, it was that Monday when it was rain, wind, yeah, I was convinced the plane was going down at one point, but, I was like, is anybody else freaking out or is it just me? Toronto's lovely. I had a great time. It wasn't cold. It was a lot like here. It was like, you know, 40s. I would go back. I passed the Rogers Center, which looked nice. We passed where the Raptors play. Like, we were pretty much, like, right in, like, where everything is in Toronto. And what was cool is, like, in their subways, like, to the, like, at what point is the subway? But then they have, like, an underground, like, mall where you can just walk. And I was like, that's such a great idea.
Yep, because because it's Canada and it gets cold and everything's so cold. Underground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, that's such a great idea.
Atlanta has that, too, actually. They have, like, a whole underground mall.
Yeah, I was like, Toronto's way ahead of us, man. Like, it was all clean. It was nice. Everybody was nice. And then I also got to the Hockey Hall of Fame, which made me really happy.
That's awesome.
I went to Cooperstown a couple of years ago, and it I obviously couldn't compare to Cooperstown because it's a lot smaller. It's in a mall, which was weird. But I got to see, you know, I went all the way there just to find New York Rangers stuff.
Of course.
I kind of kept forgetting where I was. Like, oh, wait, I'm in Canada. They don't care. Like, they care about their Canadian teams. But they definitely do love their hockey there. Like, there was this little boy, like, I don't know. He could barely walk. But they had, like simulated stuff where you could, like, shoot on a goalie. And he was, like, having a good time just shooting the puck. And he could barely walk. Like, he was, like, maybe a year old. I was, like, I'm pretty sure they're born with hockey sticks in their hands up here.
Yeah, they ice skate better than they walk.
Yes. So, I survived my trip to Canada. I'm glad I went because I had such anxiety before it. But I had a good time. The wedding was nice. Congratulations, Tiffany, who's still on her honeymoon. So she probably won't hear this. So congratulations to Tiffany and Dan. And Dan, who was a big Rangers fan. And the day of the wedding, the Rangers were playing into Toronto. And I was like, oh, if only it was another day, I could have gone to the game. Because it's probably a lot cheaper to go to a game in Canada than it is in New York.
Very rude of them to not schedule their wedding around.
I know. I was like, Dan, you're a Rangers fan. How could you do this to me? But yeah, no, I recommend Toronto. It's a quick, easy trip. It's an hour by plane. One of our waitresses was like, yeah, we got a lot of New Yorkers up here. So I think I would go back now that I know I can travel and not have a complete freak out. And maybe go see a Blue Jays game. Because, Allison, you went to see the Blue Jays, right?
I did. When I went to Toronto for the first time in July of 2019. Because my very close friend from college lives there. Because her husband is doing his postdoc at University of Toronto. So I visited and I got to stay for free, which is the best. Got to sleep on their couch, which is awesome. And yeah, oh, and their apartment building is like right in the middle of everything. So like we got to do everything. We went to a Blue Jays game. I didn't go to the Hockey Hall of Fame, but I could see it from her window, which was cool. So I know it like has like the glass top and everything. But yeah, like we went to a Blue Jays game. It was really fun. I had a great time. Blue Jays walked it off actually, which was cool. It was really fun. It was Blue Jays Angels, I think. And yeah, it was a really fun time. I had French fries and I got to see, so I highly recommend, either going to a Blue Jays game. And if you can't, the next best thing is looking it up, looking up video online, look up the Blue Jays, seventh inning stretch thing. It's very weird in the best way possible. It's very weird.
I am glad I went. I did like it. So that's me.
Awesome. So my walk-off win this week is also TV related. So speaking of TV, I just am gonna talk about two things that I've been watching lately that are bringing me joy, because that's, you know, simple joys in life are good. So I love, like many people, when I'm stressed out, one of my favorite things to watch is Great British Bake Off, because it's just like so soothing and like everyone's nice to each other and they just like bake sweets. And it's very like, it's like a nice show to watch like while you're doing other stuff. And it's just like, I love it. And so over during the holiday season, there was the Great American Baking Show. And it was like a holiday special. And it was like a whole season, but like squeezed into like three or four shows three or four, like, 2 hour long, like, marathons. And so I just really enjoyed watching The Great American Bake Off. So that's one of the things. And then the other show that I'm enjoying currently is the Jeopardy Greatest of All Time tournament, which I know that pizza as a whole has been really enjoying.
You want to know who won today, or did you DVR it?
No, I didn't DVR it. I, like, okay. You know, like, quit halfway through, so you can tell me.
Okay, I'm pretty... Ken won the first one. Like, Ken kind of, like, blew them out. And then I'm pretty sure James won the second one.
Nice.
So I think Ken and James are tied now, aren't they?
Yeah, sounds right. Yeah, for two games apiece. So isn't it, like, the next game? They win? Whoever wins the next game wins?
It's up to three. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's exciting. They have the three, like, greatest Jeopardy champions of all time. You have Brad, who won the most money, right, at once?
Yeah.
Isn't that his thing? He won the most money at once of any of them. And then Ken Jennings won the most games in a row. And then James Holzhauer won the most, like, total money, right? That's what distinguishes each of them?
I think so.
Because James is the one that, like, goes all in on every bet, so he wins, like, a shit ton of money every time.
Well, he's a poker player.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just what he does. Plus, like, he's the one that, like, gambler. Yeah, who got really aggressive, too.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of revolutionized the game.
Yeah, he, like, changed the game, and obviously Ken Jennings, like, won, like, he was on the show for, like, 3 months straight.
I know. That was 15 years ago. How was that 15 years
ago?
Oh,
shit, we're so old. God damn it. Like, remember that.
So do I. Because Brad was on before they changed the rules where you stayed on until you lost. So I think he had to leave after 5 days.
Oh, he did. That's right.
So we don't really know how Brad would have done if he had come in, like, when Ken had played.
Yeah. And yeah, I've just been really enjoying watching The Greatest of All Time because it's just, like, such a fun, slick, fast paced game because they're really good. So they're answering your questions really quickly. It's always really close. It's, like, really fun. And, like, I don't know, like, Jeopardy is a thing that I, like, kind of grew up with because, like, my parents like it and watch it, like, every day. And so it was always, like, on in the house, like, 7 o'clock, always Jeopardy time. And then, like, I kind of got away from it for a while because, like, in grad school, my schedule was such that I was usually in the lab at 7 p.m. Like, I rolled into lab kind of late in the day and I stayed late because that's, like, my natural circadian rhythm. But now I have, like, a normal job. I actually work 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., so, like, even earlier than a 9 to 5. So, like, I'm home by 7 p.m. every day now. So, like, I'm back into watching Jeopardy again. I'm just really enjoying it. So that's my walk-off win for this week. So that does it for the show this week. I hope all of you had a fantastic holiday and a fantastic new year. We are back on our, like, every other week schedule for the remainder of the off season. We have some more, like, guests lined up for you. In a couple weeks, we're going to have Cheryl Ring on the show. And then hopefully in February, like we said, we'll have a book pod before we start talking spring training stuff. So got some exciting pods lined up for you guys. But in the meantime, while you wait for the next episode, you can go to AmazingAvenue.com, check out all of our fantastic content. We cover wild boars and more. You can follow Amazing Avenue on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can follow the show on Twitter at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow me on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Servich.
Kate Feldman, where can our people find you on the internet?
Please don't, but if you have to, it's Kate E. Feldman.
And she also writes for the New York Daily News, so you can find her writing at the New York Daily News. Please rate and review the show on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, etc. Subscribe, rate, and review. Really helps people find the show. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets, and don't forget, there is no crying in podcasts.